Good stuff. We're thankful for their time and effort that they put into that to share with us today. We'll be in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 this morning. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 to go along with this song that we just heard of What Child Is This? It's Jesus. And Christians living in the world today, if you've been brought up in the church and you've been raised in the church, then you get it and you understand. But we live in a time, in a world where not everybody has heard about Jesus, where not everybody has understood the story, the prophecy, the fulfillment of all those things, as Gary shared with us this morning, and how important that is. During this time of year, the Palestinian West Bank, that little town in of Bethlehem, is perhaps more raged about at this time of year than any other. We want to share a little bit about that prophecy in Micah this morning, and pray that we can all learn a little something from that little town from 2,000 years ago and what it did for the world. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says this, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago and from the days of eternity." And what we want to remember from this, and it's not going to be our main focus this morning, but what we need to understand a little bit about eternity is eternity, if you're drawing out a timeline, and eternity goes both directions. So many times we just think of our eternity in heaven, and we look to the future. But eternity here, from the days of eternity, what it's saying is there's one that is coming that's always been. And it's talking about that Jesus, that Messiah, that Emmanuel, that God with us. And as we think about that and consider that here this morning, from our text, it said, too little, O Bethlehem, to be counted as the clans of Judah. And that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning when we get into our few points that we're going to have. But it's a reminder to us that Bethlehem, aren't we grateful and thankful to the fulfillment of prophecy that Bethlehem didn't stand out and say, "I'm too small. We need to have it in a great city like Jerusalem for the Savior to be born." But instead, Bethlehem took its place in history to bring to us the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And for that, we're so grateful. Just as a reminder to us, as we ask, "What child is this?" we want to look back to the Gospel of John in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." And so as we look at this, so many times as we point out this passage of Scripture, so if you're looking in the Greek, you'll see O Logos, which is the Word, which is what it says Jesus is. And so when we talk about that, and when people say, "Well, I don't, you know, the Bible's a good book to guide your life by, but I don't believe it completely," what you're really saying is, "I don't fully trust in Jesus," because He is the whole Logos. He is the Word that is given to us. Not only is He the Word, that proves that He is a part of the Godhead. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. that he's a part of the Godhead, that he is equal parts as the Father and the Spirit is the Son, in whom we, at this time of year, the world takes an extra special look at, perhaps. But it is through his word that we are given the opportunity for joy, for hope, and ultimately salvation. And so as we consider that here this morning, we may ask ourselves, what's the big deal? As we said, those that have grown up in the church understand what Christianity is about, we get it. We understand what's being... But there are those more and more all the time that seem not to understand what it's about. And I'm not talking about the Christmas tree or the presents or the ham or even a time of fellowship, right? I have often wondered why it's a Christmas ham when Jesus was a Jew. But anyway, so as we thank God for the book of Galatians, right? But anyway, and so as we look at that, and we're reminded of these things. So what does it mean? What are all these songs? What are all these carols? What are all these whistles and bells? What's the whole season for? And you know, we understand some of the deep theological miscues that take place this time of year. But at the same time, then use those opportunities to tell people about the Word of God, Jesus. Use that opportunity to share the message of salvation with them. Not only do we see this, but it's a reminder to us as well that he was in the beginning and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And so this is a reminder to us that back to the days of creation and even before that, from eternity past, that Jesus Christ has always been. And what we need to understand is that Jesus Christ wants to be a part of your life, if he's not already, from this day forward, forever. And let him be that. John chapter 1 and verse 10 then says, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. Can you imagine being in a world that does not know Jesus? If we stop and we consider back to the great nation of Israel and its beginning as it was in Egypt and it was growing rapidly, there arose a time that there was a king that knew not Joseph. And Joseph was just a man. But we live in a world today that there are those who do not know God. And I want to point this out, is especially in many of these songs that we sing at this time of year, that it points out that he is the God of creation. And that we are not to fall in love with the creation, but to be in love with the Creator. And so when we ask, what child is this? What is the point of some baby that was prophesied of since Genesis 3:15 that comes through the book of Isaiah 2,700 years ago to its birth, his birth 2,000 years ago? So what makes this special? John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a reminder to us that Satan tries to feed us the lie, and Rick touched on this just a little bit this morning in Sunday school, but Satan tries to feed us the lie, but our Lord and Savior is full of grace and truth. And the truth comes from the Word, from Jesus Christ. And so we just wanted to use that this morning to kind of leapfrog into this message today, and as a reminder of what child is this. So do you realize that around 4 million babies are born every year in the United States. 4 million babies. The most popular day to be born on is a Tuesday. Right? I don't know. You know, we sing that song at revivals, "It was on a Monday when the Lord saved me." They always say that if you don't remember what day it was, to stand on a Tuesday, because less people become Christians on Tuesdays than any other day. Maybe that's because that's the day they were born. I don't know. But anyway, so Tuesday's the number one day to be born on. Monday is the number two day to be born on. Guess what day is the least popular to be born on? 35% less babies are born on this day than any other day. Sunday. Sunday. It's because those mamas want to be in church first. So they hold off till Tuesday. They go in on Monday, but they don't have until Tuesday. You know how it works. So anyway, but something for us to consider, and we know and we've discussed before in the past on when probably was the real birth date of Jesus. I mean, as far as probably in the fall, probably September, things of that nature. So I find it coincidental then. Guess what month more babies are born in than any other? I just gave you the answer. September. Which then, if you backtrack 9 months, Merry Christmas. Just the way it goes, all right? For those of you that aren't old enough to get that, someday you'll laugh, okay? But anyway, and so as we look at that and we're reminded of this, of what child is this, 2,000 years ago, and we talk about then this fulfillment or this prophecy given in the book of Micah, and Bethlehem claim, and the prophecy even claims that Bethlehem's too little to belong to the regular clans of Judah, that they're super small. But this morning, as we get into the heart of our message, then I want you to understand that God thrives at using those things or those people that consider themselves too little in the eyes of God. Bethlehem considered itself too little this morning. What if David would have considered himself too little to face Goliath? What if the widow would have considered her 2 mites, her 2 pennies, too small to give to the Lord? What if the little boy would have considered his lunch of 2 fish and 5 loaves to be too little? Would have changed some of our biblical history. What if Bethlehem would have said, maybe the Messiah needs to be born somewhere else? It would have changed the truth of God. And so there's some things we want to look at this morning to make sure that we don't get too little of a mindset when it comes to serving our Lord. Maybe this time of year we use this to do the opposite. Use this to enlarge our areas, to grow our faith in the Lord. But there are some times we hear people say things, and there's going to be 4 things we're going to look at this morning, that we as Christians, let us not fall into thinking that we're too little or have these attitudes in which the world, and unfortunately many times those in the church have. Number one is, the first one that we want to think about here this morning is, have you ever used the idea when someone has asked you, maybe one of the elders have asked you to teach a class or to lead out in some area, I just don't have enough, there's just too little time. There's just too little time. Isn't that going to be a wonderful excuse when we get to heaven? Right? We're standing in the line there waiting, and we get to talk to the Lord, and he's going to say, why didn't you serve more in my kingdom? I just didn't have enough time. There was just too little time. What do you think the Lord's going to say? You were given just as much time every day as everyone else, and what did you do with it? Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, that we are to walk into wisdom towards those who are outside. This is just dealing with those that are non-Christians, redeeming the time. We talked all about redemption last week. And redeeming the time, buying it back, going out and getting it, using it properly. You always have time to do what you do first. And when we keep sliding Jesus and his kingdom down the burner of that oven of life or that stovetop of life, we can always find that he's about fifth or sixth, seventh, eighth place instead of being first. Because we say, we just have too little time. You perhaps have heard the stories before. I know that I have. Of maybe it was a dad that was heading out of the house to go to work. Or maybe it was a mother that was busy with the day's activities. And they turn to their family and they just say, we just don't have enough time right now to do this. And then something tragic happens and dad is killed at a job site that day. Mom dies in an auto wreck. And they slide off into eternity with the last thing being said to their loved ones is, I just don't have enough time. There's too little time. I encourage you, this time of year, make time for what is important. Make time for the Lord. Make time for the church and your family and those things that are truly important. We don't want to stand before the Lord and say, I just had too little time. Another thing that sometimes we fall into is that the church or the Christian gets caught up with saying that we have, that of us, that we put in too little effort. Too little effort. Now, Rick made mention of a gentleman that he was talking to about how he works too much, had worked too much, and it would get in the way of his home life and with his wife. But then there are those that just don't put in the effort for Jesus that they could. They've got the time. They know they've got the time. But we just choose to think that other things are just a little more important. If we were to work as hard for the Lord and for the church as you do at your individual jobs, then what would the church look like? If we were to put in that much effort, are we ever going to be accused of, you know what, they've got all sorts of talent over there, just not enough effort. How many times have you heard that about a ball team? Whether it's baseball, basketball, I mean, we don't hear that from Detroit teams too much. But other teams, I've heard that they have plenty of talent. Right? What is this talent you speak of? So they have talent. But then they have all this talent, but no effort. If the coach is always having to say, run harder. If the coach is always having to say, do faster, move faster. Right? If they're always, are we one of those churches? Or are we a Christian that they look at us and say, boy, just there's so much potential there, but they're just too little effort. Too little effort. And you may convince yourself, I'm giving it everything I've got. But you know, those that are watching, those in the audience, if it's a game, those in the stands, they realize, at least its perception is, they are not. If they just put in some effort. Do you think that the Lord deserves our effort? How much effort did he put into this life while he was here? I know some of the older ones can say, yeah, but he only lived 33 years. Well, I could have done it if it was only 33 years, right? Yeah, right. Too little effort. We pray that we take the strong route as Bethlehem did, not be considered too slack on the effort part. Bethlehem didn't have the best to offer, but the best they had to offer that was available there, they did. As we see, even the most meager means, right? To someone who is homeless, that means everything. Maybe the thought is they put in too little thought. That could be something else as well. Too little thought. We're told in Philippians 2 to let this mind or this attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So, do we have the mind of Christ in us? Joe Hines did a chapel service for us on Friday and gave the opportunity for one of our sixth graders to have the opportunity to grab hold of a $20 bill. And he made him work for it, you know, standing on some rocks that would give way. He's kept trying to jump up. But then finally the young boy was able to attain that $20 bill, and then Joe made the comment, now you have to give it to somebody else to help them. Of course, right away he had a good friend that was willing to take that $20 off his hands. But by his teacher and a little persuasion, he was asked to change his mind. He said, I'm either going to give it to, there's a family that school is helping at this time of year. I'm either going to give it to them or the guy that stands outside of Wendy's. It seems like he needs the money. We've probably all seen him there. But what do you think of? Or does it not cross your mind? Is there too little thought being put into that? Too little thought. Jesus says if someone needs help, help them. Christianity, the Lord has really made it really easy for us. He's told us what to do. If someone needs help, help them. We don't have to stop and consider, I wonder if Jesus would want me to help this guy. Take your head and go like this. Yes, he does. He wants for you to help them. We had a sermon on that some months ago, and it is our responsibility to do good, especially to those in the household of faith. But do we have this attitude? Do we think of things like Jesus thinks of? I think every day of his life on this earth, he contemplated and thought of going to the cross. And yet sometimes we struggle during a 3-minute communion meditation to give ourselves over totally to thinking as Jesus would think, to pray as Jesus would pray, to live as Jesus would live. I could have done that. And this is what I say. Boy, I wish I would have thought of that. Maybe if we put on more of the mind of Christ, we would think more like that. To be more like him. To be more like the Messiah. To be more like Jesus. But too many times we have too little thought for our Savior, for the world, for the church. We're told in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That helps us to funnel down our priorities. Is that our thought? Too little thought. Too little thought for Jesus and the things that he would want us to think about. And then lastly, I think this is what boils it all down. Whether we want to admit it or not, Because we know that God is love, but sometimes we think too little of love. Because as been shared, the world definitely has a different view of what love is than what the Bible says. And so we get tossed and we get torn on what the real definition of love is in the world that we live in today. But once again, Jesus made it real easy on us, and he reminds us, John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, let's try to be as honest as we can, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and be that honest. How many of you love the other people in this building? Now, how many of you love them like Jesus loves them? Isn't there a difference? Should there be a difference? No. There is a difference, but there shouldn't be a difference. Greater love is no man than this. And he lays down his life for another. Right? We can go on and on and on. All the things that Jesus says that love is, and yet sometimes I think we give too little thought because we show too little love. Too little love, like Jesus did. It's this time of year where the Oxford Dictionary releases their new words that weren't words a year ago. They're new words they're adding to the dictionary. The number two word this year, which I thought probably would have been the number one word, but according to the Oxford Dictionary, the new word that they're adding to the dictionary is meta. Oh, right. We got the metaverse. We got Meta, Facebook, we got all that. The meta, that's the number two new word this year. The number one word, anybody but Josh Gustin, because I talked to him about it this morning, right? Goblin mode. The new word made up and put in the dictionary is goblin mode. The definition: having an unapologetically selfish attitude. Goblin mode. So someone looks at you this week and says, you have just went full on goblin mode. What that means is you're probably having trouble loving somebody else. And in a world, isn't that a sad commentary? That needs Jesus? Isn't that a sad insight to the newest word added to the Oxford Dictionary? Goblin mode. To be unapologetically selfish in your attitude. That means you do believe you're number one. You do believe you're number one. But we're reminded that Jesus is number one. That Jesus is the one that sets the example for love. That Jesus is the one that sets the example for where our minds should be. Jesus is the one that shows to us and expresses to us and puts it into action where our efforts should be. And of course, Jesus is ultimately the one that sets the prime example of where our time should be. Sometimes things are too little, at least maybe in the world's eyes. But I say go all out for Jesus. Don't let something that's too little stop you from doing a big thing in the kingdom of the Lord. As we started off this morning, we talked about two groups of people, those that were raised in the church and grew up and understand what Christianity is and those that don't. So if you're here this morning and you understand what Christianity is, then keep on keeping on with the next parts. But if you don't, you want to know, you want to learn, we'll be happy to share with you. But the Bible tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is God, that he is the Son of God, that he is not just an apostle, he's not just a good man, that he is the Word. We need to believe who Jesus is, to repent of our sin. I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. We each have to repent of our own sin that put cross on that cross at Calvary. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into him for the forgiveness of your sins and arise to walk in the newness of life and then live faithfully for him. Don't ever think you're too small. Don't ever think you don't have enough to offer. Because we need those small places. We need the small things to all be done for Jesus' big plan that he has in store for each and every one of us. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?
Let's sing, Jesus Paid It All.